And here is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday, the 2nd of November 2013. It was on this day, 1948, that Harry S. Truman managed one of the great election upsets in history. He beat the governor of New York, the Republican Thomas Dewey, for the presidency. Truman had been doing badly in the polls. He'd come into office after Franklin Roosevelt's death in April 1945. He'd never really lived up to Roosevelt's reputation. He was not well known. Republicans had taken control of the Congress in the midterm elections 1946. Factions of the Democratic Party were splitting off into the Progressive Party and the Dixiecrats. 2 months before the election, the pollster Elmo Roper announced he was going to stop surveying voters because Truman was so far behind. But Harry Truman set out on his whistle-stop tour, private railroad car with a sound system so he could pull into small towns and give speeches. And that fall of 1948, he traveled almost 22,000 miles and delivered more than 300 speeches, including the first speech ever delivered by an American president to a black audience in Harlem. On election day, he went to bed early after a ham sandwich and a glass of milk, woke up around midnight, turned on the radio. They reported that he was ahead in the popular vote by more than 1 million, but the announcer said that Truman was still undoubtedly beaten. It turned out, though, that he had won 303 electoral votes to Thomas Dewey's 189. Not a single news organization in the country had predicted the election correctly. And a couple days later, Truman posed with a copy of the Chicago Tribune with the headline, "Dewey Defeats Truman," and a big grin on his face. It's the birthday of the frontiersman Daniel Boone, born 1734 near Reading, Pennsylvania. Daniel Boone, who said, "I have never been lost, but I will admit to being confused for several weeks." It's the anniversary of the first and only flight of the largest airplane ever built, made of birch, designed by Howard Hughes, who was at the controls on this day in 1947 in Long Beach, California. He reached an altitude of about 70 feet, went over a mile, never flew the plane again. And it's the birthday of cheerleading, 1898, the University of Minnesota, the first time that Yale leaders got out of the crowd, went down to the field, picked up a megaphone, faced the crowd, and whipped them into a frenzy, yelling, "Rah, rah, rah, sky you ma, hoorah, hoorah, varsity, varsity, Minnesota." Here's a poem for today by Ron Kirchee, entitled "Weather." Some of my friends claim they could never live in California. They find the regular beauty too much like a postcard with its predictable tonka. And anyway, how do I ever get anything done with the sun luring everyone to the first tee or the pari-mutuel windows, much less the way the chairs all seem to lean back under a tree, a cat ready to curl up on my lap or at my sandaled feet? They prefer the bracing rigors of snow and rain. They write about its feet and inches, all they endure to buy an orange or see a movie, as they picture me, probably, still on my chaise, their letter falling from one languid hand onto the voluptuous lawn. "Weather," a poem by Ron Kirchee from his collection Fever, published by Red Hen Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available in a digital subscription for iPad and iPhone. Subscriptions at poetryfoundation.org/digitalmag. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.